We got some good news. We're having a contest sponsored by Relapse Records at relapse.com. And this is for the new Obscura CD, Omnivium. Answer these three questions after the end of hearing the podcast, and you'll be chosen at random to be the winner. Winner will get a disc from Relapse Records. First question. What is Stefan Kummerer's occupation when he's not touring as a musician? Second question. What other group is listed or identified in this interview as a question of who they could tour with? And last question is, what is the name of the new CD by Obscura? The winner will be chosen at random. So the way to get your answers to us is email helpalongtheway, all one word, at gmail.com. Once again, helpalongtheway at gmail.com, and our website, www.helpalongyourway.com. Thank you, and enjoy.
Today we have with us Stefan Kummerer from Obscura, a metal band that's on Relapse Records. Welcome, Stefan.
Hey, hello, this is Stefan from Obscura.
All right, the first section we're going to talk about is the new release, Omnivium, and it's on Relapse Records. So the first question is, was the songwriting of the music itself a collaboration between all the members of the band, or was it mainly one or two people?
Well, actually, it was planned that the whole collective is writing the music, but in the end, it turned out that Christian Münzner, Hannes Korsmann, and myself wrote the music, and our bassist improvised his lines over the material we already wrote. But within those three people, I would say it's really a work of all people, so... It's more a band effort instead of a one-man show.
Very good. Now, which of your guitars did you record with the most? Was it the Ibanez or the Rand, or is it a mixture of both?
Oh, good question. Our guitarist, Christian Münzner, he's endorsed by Ibanez guitars. And as we are tuned down one whole step, even with the seven strings, we... have some intonation problems, not only within the live shows, but honestly, really also within the recordings. So what Ibanez did, they sent us a new RG model, which is especially built for those down tunes. That means the measurement is a little bit broader.
Mm-hmm.
We recorded the whole rhythm guitars with that instrument. And I think it sounds pretty good so far. Just the lead guitars and the acoustic guitars are... recorded with several different instruments, some Steinbergers and Ibanez, I guess some Gems, and well, a lot of different equipment we just used to get a certain sound.
Okay, all right. Now, your new CD was recorded at Woodshed Studios, and I believe this is maybe the second or third time you've used that studio. Why did you choose this facility and that team again?
Oh, good question. Actually, the owner, Wiesentura, of the band Dark Fortress is one of my closest friends since the very beginning of the band. And we are from the same hometown, from Landshut. It's in the north of Munich. And when he started to record albums or artists in general, we've been one of his first bands he ever worked with. So he recorded our first demo. He was included into the recordings of our debut album, Retribution. And his first real production in his new studio was the Cosmogenesis 2 years ago. So within those years, we knew exactly what we can expect from each other. So he knows exactly what kind of sound we want to have, how the guitars should shine through the mix, and how the bass should be included. And in general, what we are doing with the songwriting itself. And on the other hand, we know exactly that Victor is one of the very few producers who is not putting his own stamp on the production. He always tries to give the band a certain band sound and not, give it the sound of the Woodshed Studio itself. And I guess that's pretty important.
Yes, it is.
And Yeah, and besides the business fact, and that we know each other, I mean, he's a very cool dude to work with, and he always have a lot of ideas within the arrangements to make the songs even better than we thought they are. So sometimes here and there he gives some advices, and I think they make the songs at least a few percent better than they are. So I guess we will also record the next album with that guy.
All right. That sounds good. Now your track, Euclidean Elements, you reference in the lyrics, Baptism by Fire. Is this a figurative reference or a literal reference used for imagery, or are you speaking like physically a baptism by fire?
Well, it's that depends on the view of the listener. I mean, the whole album is built lyrically wise that way that you can interpret the whole thing on different views. So you have different layers of opinions within the whole lyrics, and you can take it physically and burn somebody dead. That would be the black metal thing. On the other hand, you can also take it lyrically and just see somebody on a different way, threatened bad. Well, if you're a black metal fan, take burn it to the ground, and if you are not a black metal fan, choose something else.
Okay. Just take it at face value then. Okay. Now, your track Prismal Dawn, this paints a lyrical picture again of hell, or the first hell, Gehenna. Was this intentional, or was just...
You mean lyrically or musically?
Lyrically.
Lyrically. Let me see. In the end, Prismal Dawn is also part of Friedrich Schelling's Clara, the connection between spirit and nature. It's a novel by a German philosopher, which is the basis of the whole lyrical concept of this album.
Right.
And Prismal Dawn itself tells more a story of, well, it's kind of half ballad, so it's about a girl in the first few,
okay.
But also including in the whole concept. So it's not too much Gehenna and too much black metal, but... if you're a black metal fan, well, you can interpret a lot of Gehenna in it if you want to.
Okay. Well, I am a black metal fan, but I just thought I'd ask, so that's good to know.
Okay.
Now your track Velocity, it's got a slow channel switching from left to right and right to left, almost clean tone guitar picking, almost. It's hard to tell, with clean vocal effects. Now, when you're playing live, I know y'all be touring pretty soon, is that going to be played live like that from the different people in the band, or will you be using a line in from a hard disk?
Well, that's a good question. The thing is, when we started to compose the album, we had in mind a few ideas we definitely never can bring live with the regular band of two guitars, one bass, and a singer, and as well as a drummer. So we thought, okay, if we have one or two songs on the whole album, we cannot play live, then we make it absolutely over the top. And one of those songs was Velocity. So to come back to your question, the whole song is built on four rhythm guitars who play completely against each other, and you have those layers you mentioned with the almost clean guitar tone switching from left to right. And I guess somehow you could play it live, but then I guess 50% of the guitars have to come from an hard disk. And I guess that's some kind of a stereo feeling on a live show, and I'm not a big fan of that. Some bands do that, but I won't. So
okay.
I don't think we will ever play this song live. Maybe
now,
we are playing with three guitarists or four guitarists once, but that's pretty
okay.
Boring as well.
You know, for those diehard fans, they really, you know, when they buy an album, you know, a lot of people are going to want to see exactly what they have heard on the disc. So I just thought I'd ask the question because I thought, man, that's a lot to do for just four people, you know, it much less six or seven. But anyway, that's a good answer. And, you know, some tracks aren't meant to be played live. They're just meant to be works of art, you know, that were recorded at one point in time and, you know, saved and archived or played, you know. The opening track, Septuagint, it hints at acoustic melodies from In Flames. Was this a tribute to the band, or was it just how it was recorded?
Well, which of the three acoustic parts do you think are...
The very beginning. The very first part. Yes.
Okay, but that means that In Flames completely stole by Metallica.
Well, I'm sure there's influence there. I'm sure there's a lot of influence there.
Okay, fair enough. So let's call it influenced by Metallica, not by In Flames.
Okay, very good, very good.
Okay.
Now, in terms of your gear, now, do you have your own signature RAN guitar, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, and I'm very happy with the result. I have to say, I didn't switch from another company to RAN. I play these guitars since 2003, and I just started to play guitar in 2002. So that means almost the entire length of my playing career, I play those instruments. And with the signature guitar, they build exactly the guitar I already have since 2003, just with some kind of updated electronics and a seventh string and a second tone pody. So in the end, I guess it's just a improvement of our relationship. So between the band and the company RAN Guitars. And I'm very, very glad that they built this signature guitar for, I guess, almost 1 year.
Right. Yeah, I've seen the pictures. The body style looks great, and it sounds phenomenal, you know, when I've heard it on the record and then their previous obscure record, Cosmogenesis. Now, is it a solid body or semi-hollow?
No, it's a solid body. It's mahogany.
Okay.
Mahogany body as well as the neck. Though the tone is pretty, the low mids are pretty massive and pretty in front, but I guess it fits to the sound very good. It's okay. A pretty unique sound within the guitar itself, so you have to... play a little bit with the equalizer on your tube end and on the preamp to get the real sound you want to have with it. And if you change the guitar from this guitar to, let's say, Christian's Ibanez, it's completely different. So that could be a problem, but RAN will build another guitar with the same specs, and I guess then the problem is solved in general. I'm very satisfied, and especially the solo sound is very good.
Now, would you consider having them make a hybrid of that same body style, but where it's semi-hollow, so you can get more depth, as well as an acoustic wired pickup inside?
I don't think it's a good idea for our kind of music. I mean, it would look pretty cheesy, but I think it won't work. If you have so many notes in such a short time period, like those one-point picking notes at 150 BPM, like in Prisma Dawn or in Album, the last song on the album. I guess with too many mids and a hollow body, or at least semi-hollow body, you only have a big mess of tones at once.
Right, yeah. I guess I was thinking more along the lines of when you're playing clean tones, like introductions, like that, like those that are influenced by Metallica, you know, that kind of thing, where the body would be some, you know, the same thickness, but it would be hollowed out in the middle. But I understand what you're saying, and it makes total sense, especially, you know, for the style of music you're playing. So that's a good answer.
Maybe I should ask RAN Guitars to build a double neck guitar, one hollowed and one massive. But I guess it will have at least 10 kilograms. So.
Yeah, that'll be heavy. All right, now, your source of distortion, where does that come from and what brand is it?
Equipment-wise, on my guitar, I have a standard EMG 81, which already gives a little bit of a square signal.
Okay.
So because you have some kind of extra output in the end. And for live, I use Engel preamp, 530, and Engel tube end. It's kind of old school 80s rack system, plus the TC electronic effects unit. So basically, the distortion came from the preamp.
Preamp, okay. Now, this next section, we're going to talk about your musical influences, your personal ones, you know, speaking for yourself here. What single band has influenced you the most?
The most. And I only are allowed to choose one band, right?
Yes.
Phew.
Okay, if you have to pick two, that's fine.
Okay, I'd say Death and Dissection from Sweden,
okay.
If you know them.
Yes, yes, okay.
Especially because Death brought, they came out of a very, let's say, simple music. Like Scream Bloody Gore was super brutal, but it was not technically outstanding for that time. I mean, you had all those 80s shredders, and but it was very brutal. And with the addition of the Cynic guys, Joe Heinert and Paul Masvidal, Chuck brought a lot of new inspiration to the death metal scene and gave some kind of pushes to the boundaries of the genre. And I guess the combination of the groove, good songwriting, and the new influences, let's say that, yeah, Joe Heinert's jazz-influenced drumming and... well, the pretty tricky, but still rememberable songwriting is something I'm really enjoy and I'm really stick to, and I guess that's one of the biggest influences for Obscura. On the other side, harmony-wise, I always enjoyed Dissection pretty much because their last album, Storm of Lightbane, it may be black metal in the first case, or let's say black death metal, but I think. Especially harmony-wise, there are a lot of things happen, and it's pretty much influenced by neoclassic.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I guess if you break it down and you have those two bands added with a lot of blast beats, you have Obscura, and maybe a little of Emperor.
Yes. Yeah, I can hear each of those influences, and that's very good to hear. Very good. Now, since you live in Germany. And we know Europe has been the center of many of the world's greatest composers. Have any of those composers from the past influenced your work? Because on some of the solos I hear, it just brings to mind Mozart, because he's one of my favorites.
Mozart?
And then also, yes, and then also the speed of the strings, I mean, just so fast, it reminds me of Vivaldi. So did any composers influence the band, either... in the open or subconsciously, or was it just completely from bands that you listen to?
Both, I'd say. Not only the bands we're listening to, but to come back to your question, I'd say there are a lot of old classical composers that influenced us. From my point, I have to say, I just started to play guitar with 16, but at the age of 9, I had a stipendium at the boarding school in Regensburg, in Germany, for a music school. It was a music boarding school. You have to live there, and you came home twice a month. And I learned to compose a little bit, so the standards, just the basics. And I learned to play piano and learned to sing along solo and learned to sing in a choir on a professional basis. And within those years, we had mostly lessons made by Bach. And we talked about Mozart and just did some analysis of all of those bigger compositions they did. The well-known, and I guess that's some point that influenced me pretty much. Within the solos, I have to say Christian Münzner, our guitarist, he plays 10 years longer than I do guitar, and he's obviously the better guitarist, so he takes part of this, and I try to focus on the vocals more or less.
Right.
And I just did one or two leads on this album. So about his background, I just can say that he's also classical educated. He studied guitar twice, and also jazz and fusion guitar. So I don't know exactly if he really is influenced by Bach, Mozart, or whatever. But I think so.
Okay. Now we're going to a new section here. It's called Insight into Your Thinking and Personal Life. Okay. Some of these are just basic questions, but there's a reason behind the madness, and you'll see where I'm getting to in just a minute. So the first question is, what is your favorite movie of all time?
Of all time? I just recently I saw a pretty good movie. It's called Big Fish of Tim Burton. And I have to say, I'm not into zombie movies or slasher or splatter or something like this. That's not my word. Sorry, not my cup of tea.
But yeah, it's not mine either.
Yeah, but I'm pretty much into movies that tell a story that is beyond the usual Hollywood material, where one and the same story is told you again and again and again.
No, yeah, I understand what you're saying. You know, you mentioned you're from the Munich area, right?
Yeah.
Now, did you ever see that movie called Munich?
No.
No. Okay. Well, it's a very good movie. It's a very good movie. But I'll just leave it at that, and I'll let you check it out if you so choose. Now, the next question.
Munich. Is it about the Oktoberfest?
No, it is about, I think it was at the 72 Olympics that were in Munich, and many of the Israeli team were killed because of an assault on them by some terrorists or whatever. It's very intense. I liked it. I mean, it's based on a true story, but it was just so intense I couldn't finish it. You know, and normally I can handle, you know, pretty intense movies, you know, like Saving Private Ryan or Braveheart or something like that. But this was just too intense. I'm like, I can't handle it.
Okay.
Give myself a heart attack just watching it.
Yeah, I'm aware of the story and the whole history of the Olympic Games in 72, but I haven't seen the movie, so sorry.
No problem. Now, what is your favorite book? It can be fiction or nonfiction.
Ooh, fiction or nonfiction. Well, when I was 8 years old, I collected Marvel and DC comics. But I guess that doesn't count, right?
No, that works. It's something you read,
okay,
you know.
Fine.
So that's good. That's good.
I really enjoy more different material, like Kant, Schopenhauer, Schelling, Blavatsky, books that are not standard and a little bit out of place for the ordinary reader. Maybe that's clean, I don't know.
You know, we talked about, you know, you having received some formal training, you know, being in the boarding school, and eventually that has led you into metal, the metal scene, technical death metal, whatever people want to call it. Very good, by the way. Do you ever get tired of playing this style of music?
Well, sometimes it's pretty stressful if you imagine that you have to warm up at least 30 minutes or 40 minutes before leaving on the stage, and that's something that makes me a little bit sick, especially if you have so-called fans, especially in Germany, that are 15 years old, have pickles on the face, glasses thick like my thumb, and tell you they are the biggest fans of the band, but in the same sentence to tell you, oh, well, you played a wrong note there, and I guess you have to practice a little bit more. I guess in the U.S., it's you can compare that with the SMN forum. So those guys who never reached anything in their life but tell you what you make wrong in your life, That's a little bit annoying, I really have to say. But besides that, I mean, that's the this kind of music is exactly what we want to do with this band. And I can play other music in other projects. That's fine. You just have to separate a little bit.
Right, right. So, yeah, you know, you do bring up a good point. And I see it with all ages here in the U.S. People say, well, and that sounded great, but, you know, you messed up on the song, or, you know, guitar string broke and you didn't notice, or something silly like that. It's like, you know, people, we're all human. You know, we're not perfect, you know.
Yeah, I mean, a live show is a live show, and I don't want to see four musicians who are just watching on their fingers what they do. If I see it from a fan's perspective, if you pay a lot of money and go into a festival in Europe or to one of those festival tours like Summer Slaughter in the U.S. and you want to see some intense, you want to see sweats and some people jumping around and have a good time on stage, and if you hit the wrong note, what the fuck? Nobody cares,
yeah.
Usually. Just in Germany, they tell you, oh, well, you have to practice a lot.
All right. What is, in your opinion, what is the most important invention of all time?
The most important invention of all time? Oh. Let me see. It's not the iPod.
No.
No, definitely not. I guess it's Waffle House.
Why Waffle House?
Waffle House has everything a band that is touring needs. They have breakfast all 24 hours a day, and it's the best thing you can have on tour, definitely, period.
Okay, so is that your final answer?
I think so.
Okay, all right. That I would have never expected, but that's good. That's good. Now, we know that there's a tie between Necrophagist and Obscura. Some of the members of Necrophagist have moved on to become part of Obscura. Will the two bands ever tour together?
Oh, well, I'm pretty open for that. And I would go for it. I guess for the fans, it would be pretty interesting to have those two bands to see live. And I mean, you can also add Deadborn, which are also ex-Necrophagist, and well, you have a nice package. Now, but seriously, I think that would work pretty well, and the two together would be just wonderful. I mean, you have probably some old issues that happened many years ago, but in the end, that's not my problem, because I never played a Necrophagist. But that's something else. That's something you have to stay over, because we are not 15-year-old kids anymore. But in the end, I think a tour, Necrophagist, Obscura, and at whatever band you want to have, and the clubs are sold out. Six small clubs, okay. The small
right,
clubs.
Right.
Anyway, but I think that would make sense for every fan and for every booking agent.
Yeah, I think it would be quite the metal show. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think that would fit pretty well, because we have the more melodic approach, while Necrophagist are the more brutal band. So I think if both bands play at the same evening, you have two different bands. It doesn't sound like the same the whole evening. Well, I think that would make sense, and I would love to do it.
Okay. All right. Well, I will expect to see you soon.
Yeah, for in support of Necrophagist's third album. We call it Turkish Democracy.
That's funny. Now, in terms of your personal beliefs, do you think dreams can reveal truth or a moral code of right and wrong?
Very good question, actually. It depends what kind of dream. I mean, if you think about those dreams where you are a millionaire and sit in the jacuzzi with 10 chicks and talk about Ford Mustang, probably. But I guess some dreams are just out of place, and that's absolutely not possible to become truth. But if your question is related to the question of karma in the end, I could imagine that that is something that can happen and that could be true.
You mentioned karma. Some people that I've come across that understand karma or talk about it, many of them are vegetarian. Now, is that the same in your case, or that's just something that doesn't even faze you or affect you?
That doesn't affect me at all. I like dead meat, pretty much. Yep.
Yes, I understand. Being from Texas, I do the same thing. I do the same thing.
Yeah, it's about beef and chicks. Oh, and guns. Sorry.
let me ask you this. The name Joseph Fritzl, I've come to learn, is a very horrible name. He's a monster, from what I've heard.
Yeah.
Now, with respect to your own life philosophy, you know, how you live your life and things like that, do you think it's possible that people like this guy, Joseph Fritzl, do you think they even have a conscience? Because I have heard stories, and how true they are, I do not know. But I have heard stories where there have been researchers that have done brain scans on people that have tremendous criminal records, horrible criminal mm-hmm. records. And there is a difference in the image, the imagery of their brain scan compared to those people who do not have a bad criminal background. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, knowing all this or hearing about this, do you think, you know, people like this have a conscience or not?
That's hard to say. It depends. In the first case, how many people they detect for those what you would see as a disease where the brain is evolved differently to mm-hmm. to all the other people. I mean, if you just see one guy, in that case, Joseph Fritzl, and 100 other people who have a different brain in their head, I guess that's not science, but
no.
That's more like populism. But I see the case. I hear a lot of those stories that they check out or try to understand where's the difference between the brain construction and the synapses of people with a huge criminal background and let's say ordinary normal people. But if they have a consciousness, or I think you cannot count on that. There are too many different medical differences. If you just analyze the DNA, you cannot say how somebody will evolve as a man and as a human. And I mean, if you do something that Germans did in the 40s, euthanasia, just because of the DNA, I guess you you have really a problem in your way of thinking, because
right.
That doesn't make sense, and ethically it doesn't make sense, in my point of view. I mean, that's a pretty huge topic and a pretty massive topic for death metal fans, but I can follow the discussion pretty well. Maybe my English is not good enough to explain my thoughts on that, but to come back to a question, I don't think you can count on if somebody have a conscience just because a brain structure you analyzed.
Very good point. And in fact, your English is very well spoken, so don't worry about that. You're doing a good job, and you've explained yourself very well.
Oh,
now I'm going to another question related to this, because it's something I'm wondering about, and it's something that happened just last week in the city where I live. A church minister and his assistant were attacked in the church where they were working. He was mm-hmm. killed, and his assistant, an older lady, was attacked, and now she's hospitalized, and they're trying to, you know, get her recovered and everything. A few days later, they found these two guys, suspects, at the local shopping mall using the minister's credit card. And they had taken the lady's car with them, okay? So what just blows my mind is that these two people were not only stealing, you know, using these credit cards, but they were seen and heard laughing about the situation with people they were talking to. In your opinion, what would you do with these people? If you were the judge and they're in your court, what would you do with these people?
That's a hard question. I know in the U.S. you have you still have the death penalty, and especially Texas is pretty tough about that.
Right.
But, I don't know the whole circumstances of the deed. But if they have been, if the suspects have been definitely those people who have done the deed itself, and they are guilty, I guess for the right, if it is in Texas, for the law, they have to be sentenced by the law in the end. How the law is in Texas, I don't know exactly. So if there's a death penalty, I guess, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think in Texas it is the case. If you kill somebody, you have to be killed, right?
Well,
I mean, if you kill
there
somebody,
is the
suppose.
Well, there is the death penalty, but in many cases, it's not pursued. In many cases, there's just life imprisonment. You know, it could go either way.
Well, that's a hard question, and I'm not a lawyer, so...
Taking all that aside, you know, I guess we're getting down to philosophy now. You're not a lawyer, I'm not a lawyer, but just if you were put in the place of being the judge and you had all the facts, and it, let's say if the facts did prove these two people did commit the crimes.
If they commit the crimes in the end and they are guilty in every point, well, they are guilty, and you have to put them in jail. It depends what each of the suspicions did. I mean, if there's one guy who killed both and the other the second didn't know anything and just used the credit card but was aware of the deed, I guess you have to defer in within both. But I don't want to be the judge in the end, let's say this.
Yeah, I don't either. It's just a horrible story. You know, it's affected just how we think. Because more and more we see these stories in the news. And that's one of the main reasons I don't watch news, because it can be very sad, very traumatizing, just all the evil that's going on in the world. And so most of the time when the news comes on, I'll just turn it off, you know, or I'll do something else. But it was just something I wanted to ask you about, just, you know, to see what you had to say.
This is always pretty tough, but I don't want to be the judge in the end, and I guess I'm not the right guy to answer this.
Now, what do you see your purpose in life is? What is your purpose? Why do you exist?
Well, that's a question I ask myself pretty much and pretty often. I don't know. I just try to be not a bad human at all, but somebody who wants to reach something. What I want to reach, well, let's see. I don't know. In the end, I try to be, how do you say, in balance with all the people around me, with friends, with girlfriends, ex-girlfriends, which is pretty tough sometimes, but why am I telling this?
So in other words, being a good neighbor all the time, you know, whether it's somebody you know personally or not, living your life, you know, the best standards and pushing yourself. Is that kind of what I understand?
Yeah, something like this. To be, in the first case, the nice neighbor, but in the end, everybody of us got the death list under the table, I guess. So there are always people who annoy you, and you think, oh, well, why could you please do not die right now?
Yeah. So, you know, after we die, what happens to us? Aside from the physical aspect of it, I mean, do we just disappear?
I guess we are pretty warm for the following 3 to 4 hours, and then we are dead. I'm working in a hospital besides my studies, so my job is to bring the dead down to the cellar. So, well, if you're dead, you're dead. Nothing will happen. That's it. There's nothing and nobody who's waiting for you.
Oh, wow.
Enjoy life right now.
So there's no hope after death?
No.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. One of my uncles used to work in the Dallas City morgue.
Uh-huh.
When he was at the university studying during the summertime.
Oh.
So that's kind of weird itself. But, you know, I asked him, I said, man, isn't it weird down there with all those dead people? He said, no, they're dead. He said, you know, they're not going to come and get me because that's just in the movies, you know. They just, their bodies are sitting there.
No, it depends how the bodies look like. I mean, if they are in one piece, it's fine. But everything else is interesting. But the whole job is pretty interesting. I mean, I deliver also the newborn. So you have some kind of a circle. You deliver the newborn, and an hour later you bring a dead body to the cellar. So, well, it's fine. I mean, you get a lot of inspiration through that.
Wow. That is amazing to me. I've never, but then again, I've never thought about it. I've never heard of someone, you know, hospital staff, that is actually part of both ends of the life cycle, the beginning and the end. So that's pretty interesting. I'm sure you could write a book about all your experiences, you know, within the hospital.
No, I'm 25, so I haven't seen too much. Well, a few weird things, of course, but not too much. In Germany, you have to take a civil service, or you have to go to the army for almost 1 year, and you can decide. So, because my long hair, I denied the army and went to a hospital for drug addicted, but it was closed. It was like a prison. So everybody who got on cold turkey was completely freaking out and throwing things around you and tried to beat you up. And, well, this was really inspiring. I mean, even more than those life circles from newborn to death that's in the recent hospital right now. But what I'm talking about was even more interesting, because you have those people who are completely on drugs, like old hippies who are 40, 50 years old, and tell you their philosophic interests and how they see life. And, well, 1 or 2 months you see, oh, well, they died, and all of the philosophy was complete bullshit. Something like this. Very interesting.
You know, I could see our conversation going on for hours, but, you know, I only have a limited amount of time, so I'll just leave you with this last question. Do you think a free country as small geographically as Israel could have an impact on where you live today? It could be positive or negative.
You're talking about Israel, or you're talking about a small country in general?
Israel.
Very politic question. I would say yes.
Okay.
It could have an impact, positive as well as negative. So, but I guess every country in the wider Europe and in North Africa and like Western Asian countries can have an impact on the world. So everything has to be in balance, and sometimes it isn't, like right now in Morocco, in Egypt, in Iran, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, wherever. I mean, all of those countries, even if they are thousands of kilometers away from our place, they have an impact on German politics, on how people think. And I guess it's the same as with the U.S. and with Russia or with China or whatever. I mean, if one of those small, even very, very small countries like Israel, I guess they have 8 million inhabitants, if I'm right, and most of them are, no, I guess 2 or 3 million of them are Russian. I guess if a small country like this is collapsing completely, it can have an impact. Just see Tunisia or Morocco. They also don't have a lot of inhabitants at all, and actually they are a small country, but one of those countries collapsed politic-wise, and the whole continent, Africa, is getting crazy right now. So to come back to your question, I would say yes.
In both directions.